We interrupt this presidential broadcast to bring you the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour in its entirety.
Yeah!
Live from the Andrew Jackson Ping Pong Room in the West Wing of the White House in Washington, D.C., it's the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour. 30 minutes of hard-hitting, no-holds-barred discussion about the exciting and dangerous world of professional alligator wrestling. With your hosts, the eldest of the Ringhausen Brothers, actuarial genius, stylishly dressed and well-groomed cryptological expert, retired professional reptile rodeo clown, the former advisor to the president on alligator affairs, Peg Leg Greg Ringhausen. Also featuring dearly loved husband and father, author, retired statesman and philanthropist, the longtime legal representative for the International Brotherhood of Professional Alligator Wrestlers, next in line to date Taylor Swift, and also the eldest of the Ringhausen brothers, Richard J. Ringhausen. And lastest and leastest, international playboy, marksman, sculptor, a man's man who can pick bacon out of his teeth with a sharp knife, the six-time world welterweight alligator wrestling champion, winner of the silver medal in alligator wrestling at the 1992 Summer Olympics in Barcelona, Spain, the youngest of the Ringhausen brothers that are here, and the star of your show, Alan Ringhausen.
Yeah, giddy up, giddy up, giddy up.
Yeah. Stop.
You trill your R's like the...
Mexicans?
Like the...
Ringhausen.
Like the Frito Bandito.
Charo.
They don't have him anymore.
No, they don't. That's a character.
Do we have Charo anymore?
No.
Charo?
Yeah,
I haven't seen her.
The Hoochie Coochie Girl?
Never really got her. I just...
She made a lot of money just not doing anything.
Oh, you know what? Charo could play the guitar for real.
Yeah, she could.
Flamenco guitar.
Yeah, and actually pretty good.
Yeah, that was kind of her claim to fame.
One
of her three claims to fame.
She had two other claims to fame.
There you go, Rick, right in the gutter.
Her two luscious lips.
They did get a little fatter as they got older.
Yeah. Just out of curiosity, is Taylor Swift your new obsession, and she's replaced Fergie?
Nah, I don't think so.
I don't know, Rick.
She's just kind of news. I heard her and Kelce had a
on the splits.
Yeah, they're not on the splits yet, but they had a tense Christmas because he was geared up and cranked, and then was unhappy about the way the game went in Las Vegas on Christmas Day.
Oh well.
And she thought that he should not just be thinking football all the time.
Well, that's his life. Like, she's not going to think about music all the time. Or does she?
She sat in the back room writing the song about breaking up with him.
That's probably right. So there you go. Tit for tat.
There's money in that.
Oh, yeah.
Money, a lot of money in that.
It may get money on a breakup song. Hey, I was looking over at the shelf again here. Another one of the items on your shelf. You got this big star. It's like a enhanced badge, like a sheriff's badge.
Yeah.
Only it says, R.J. Ringhausen, State's Attorney, Calhoun County, State of Illinois.
Yeah. They gave me that when I retired.
Okay. I thought maybe it's, you know, like you have some officials have like a stamp or a seal, like a rubber stamp, and you stamp it on a stamp pad and then stamp it on official papers. That's yours, only it's like a foot wide.
I was going to say.
Big, giant thing.
It's
you
the
got
size,
a handle.
Of a, size of a dinner plate.
Yeah, but I could see you doing that. All right, let's put the official stamp on it.
Bring it in here.
I had... years ago, at a place where I worked, I had a guy that got, for Christmas, you were talking about Christmas, he got a ping pong table for Christmas, because he was a big ping pong enthusiast, and so his wife got him a ping pong table, and all he talked about at work was how good of a ping pong player he was, and I let him ramble on for, you know,
here we go,
for days and weeks, and finally said, well, yeah, I play ping pong, too. And he says, yeah, you ain't good. I said, good enough to beat you.
Attaboy.
You know, you have to throw it down. You have to. You
ping pong is all about that.
Yeah, ping pong is about trash talk.
You can't go in there wimpy.
And he's like, ho. He said, at lunchtime, we're going to my house, and we're going to play on my new ping pong table. I said, bring it. whenever you want. And I said, I'll go grab one of my paddles. He said, no. Use house paddles.
Wow.
I said, fine, I'll beat you with your own paddle. And we went there, and we played three games. First game, I beat him like 21-2. And the next game, 21-1. And the third game, I skunked him. And he puts his paddle on the table, turns off the light, says, let's go. I'm not going to get beat like this on my own table again.
I had a similar story to that. We had the noon hour, lunch hour. My neighbor would come over about 12.
And he didn't want to talk about it for a long time after that.
Who's the neighbor, Greg?
Yeah.
Gary Robine.
Attaboy.
And he couldn't wait to get his ass over to my house because he knew.
Because he's better than you.
Well, yeah. And I was stupid enough to take it. Well, it kept going for...
Because you thought that at some point you were going to get better than him.
Yeah, but it got up to 90 in a row.
What, did he beat you 90 times?
Oh, yeah. We played. It might be just like...
What, are you a masochist?
Well, yes.
This is the same way he dated.
There you go. Lisa, you don't listen to this one. But anyway, so...
I'm getting lucky tonight.
I don't think so. So he was... He wouldn't even wait till 12:30. I mean, he was knocking on the door about 10 after 12. He wanted to play about 5-6 games, 8 games, whatever. And so I said, all right, I'm just, if I get beat 100, that's it. You're not coming over anymore. And he got a little teary-eyed, but he said, let's go. So we had 2 games to get to 100. And of course, he beat me both times. And I said, that's it. I'll see you later.
He never showed any mercy.
No.
Would you?
No. Yeah, I was going to pose that question. But no, it was 100 row. It was just amazingly bad. For some reason, Dad wanted to finish the basement.
Let me ask you this. Did you take this calmly?
I was just getting
to... Did you really think that at some point you were going
to
beat him?
I was just getting to this point. So Dad wanted to finish the basement, and he chose paneling, which turned out to be a very bad idea, because the paddles will mark up paneling pretty good. And if you go down...
Why would
today,
the paddles be against the wall?
No, I mean, we put up furring strips and
I know, but why would the paddles ever touch the wall?
Yeah, when you're playing ping pong.
When they're thrown.
There it is.
They make marks.
The McEnroe of the table tennis.
Well, after 50, you get a little...
Come on, are you kidding me? That hit the table!
That's what I'm saying. We'd have those things. And, then, you know, I'd get beat by the, you know, the wisp of a little click on the end of the white line. So those were good days.
Let me tell you something. I did it, didn't I?
Yeah, you did. You have to put a dollar. You have to put a dollar in a cup. Yeah.
When you're playing ping pong, and there's that, you know, like the ball just barely clip.
You betcha.
Both players know it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Time. There is no, you know, and then to pretend you're just, you know, you're selling real estate. Then you know you're just lying.
If you think you're getting by with it. No, this is cutthroat.
Everybody
knows.
Everybody knows.
Yeah, you can hear it.
You remember when we had the weather girl on the show?
Yeah, she's pretty good.
Jackie Ringhausen.
She's a good table tennis player.
She played on the team for SLU.
Yeah.
The only girl on the team. But she lost to your son-in-law.
I know. He came in and beat us all. What was that, like a Thanksgiving holiday? The new guy comes in. And cleaned our clocks.
And there was not anybody in the house happy after that, was there?
It ruined the holiday.
and here's what else happened.
If he hadn't let one of us win, I would have lost all respect for him. But for him to come in and beat us all,
there you go.
His stock went way up.
You betcha.
What I was about to say is Jackie was...
Son.
Jackie was taking him. And then Kristen... started giving Jackie, trash talking Jackie while she's playing, and Jackie like got flustered. And Jackie has not forgiven Kristen for that. How many years ago was that?
Really? Do either one of them listen to this?
Well, maybe sometimes.
Now,
not anymore.
My oldest daughter and son-in-law do listen to this.
Yeah. Well, he got an attaboy, but Jackie was going to beat him that day.
He calmly took it. Calmly beat us all.
Did he have a little, you know, like a little smile when everything? He kept
his poker face or his ping pong face on the whole time.
Okay, let me tell you something.
Okay, you tell me something.
I'll tell you something. taking the youngest daughter to get her car, right? And we're talking about different things, and she's talking about her boyfriend, right? And somehow we got around to talking about trophies. Ask her whether she ever got trophy. Well, I got a trophy for trivia one night. So what about your boyfriend? He got a trophy. Oh, yeah, he's got a whole bunch of them. I said, and for what is that? Sharpshooting, trap shooting.
Really?
Nathan?
He handles guns?
Apparently. Really good. I said, well, next Christmas or Thanksgiving, I said, we're bringing out the firearms for Christmas.
We'll set up the clay pigeon thrower.
We'll see whether or not he can.
Watch him go to work.
And then watch your son-in-law show up and say, let me take a shot at it now. Boom, boom, son.
Okay. I don't know that bringing guns into the mix.
That might be dangerous around this family.
Although we've had Brad there.
Yeah. Brad's not killed anyone. No, well.
Not that we know of.
Brad's not killed anything.
Yeah, he shot at the, you know, I went out to the farm the other day. I can't remember when I dropped off there. Dad mentioned, we saw a groundhog. He says, is that the one Brad can't hit?
Whoa.
I said, that's the one, Dad. He said, did you?
Have they named it yet?
They named it Brad. Oh, it's commercial time.
Let's have one.
Actually, this is a public service announcement from the state of Illinois.
Well, that's what this whole show is.
Public service, yes. Yeah. Guess what? It's cicada season. 2024 marks the emergence of the U.S. cicada brood number 19 with us once again after a 13-year absence. Now, you might think of cicadas as just a noisy, disgusting nuisance, but they're more than that. They're a delicious, noisy nuisance.
I knew we were going there.
It's a well-known fact that cicada were a favorite delicacy in ancient Greece and that both Plato and Aristotle had a sweet tooth for the crunchy bugs. Today, they are prized, excuse me, as a rare treat.
You got a bug in your throat, Rick?
I was going to say, you got a cicada there, Rick?
Today, they are prized as a rare treat, especially the meatier female cicadas. And yet millions of cicadas go to waste every year. Millions of cicadas that should be going to feed the hungry and needy. The state of Illinois is now considering enacting a bounty for these valuable treats, with a proposed bounty paid for each bushel of cicadas delivered to the Illinois Department of Agriculture in Springfield, $5 a basket for males and $6 a basket for females. Call your legislator today and urge him or her to vote yes on Senate Bill 24688, the Cicada Bounty Act, a chance to feed the hungry and put a little cash in your pocket. Don't wait. The cicadas will be gone before you know it, and who knows if you'll be alive in 13 years. Act now.
Sounds like a good thing for Uncle Den to invest in.
Uncle Den's cicada paste? Cicada butter?
Yeah. You'll come up with something. Pickled cicadas.
You know, we laugh at that, but truthfully, you know, you go over to, like, Vietnam or someplace, wouldn't think twice about roasting up a bunch of cicadas.
That's true. They're
on a stick.
Insects are very popular.
It's simply a cultural thing.
Good protein.
In Asian countries, yeah. And they, you know, they cook them.
Especially the meatier
females.
It's
not like they're eating them raw or anything.
No, you roast them.
Like crazy. I don't know that. I was going to say I've never eaten an insect, but I've eaten snails, but they're like a blastopod
or
something.
A mollusk. Aren't they mollusk?
I don't think they're a true mollusk. I don't know. Not to my knowledge. Okay, so my youngest daughter recently received a gift. It was a scarf. She had a friend of hers that had been to New Zealand and sent her a scarf, and she sent a picture of it to the rest of the family. And the older daughter said, is that a possum hair scarf from New Zealand? And I thought it was, you know, like some kind of a comment that, you know,
like a Beverly Hillbillies
like
thing.
Like it's icky, you know, like I wouldn't want that scarf. But apparently, possum hair scarves in Australia are a premium, that people want them and that they're super soft and desirable.
Did you know that mole skin is like that too?
But if you look at a possum in New Zealand compared to what we think of as here as, you know, like Virginius opossumus. They're two different animals. The possum here in the United States are ugly, hissing creatures that are kind of disgusting. But over there, they're really cute and beautiful. They which say obviously makes them more desirable.
For a coat.
For a coat.
Did you hear what I said about moles?
I heard you.
That they have like the softest fur there is. And a mole's fur only strokes one direction.
So it can glide through the ground quicker.
That is correct.
There's a reason for everything.
Did you know that?
I didn't, but I do now. Like I say, you learned something on
now,
this
moles,
podcast.
Now, the
isn't
moles.
Isn't moleskin like a product name, like a copyrighted name, moleskin?
I believe it is.
It's like a shoe or something.
Not like true. It goes over blisters. But it's not made out
doesn't
of moles,
it?
Is it?
I thought moleskin was something for blisters. Maybe I'm wrong.
It's a company name.
Yeah. I have to look that up.
This is okay, we'll put the researcher on it. That's Greg's job.
Okay, I believe
do the moles around here have star noses, or is that a different breed of mole?
I think that's a subspecies. I don't think those are actually around here.
If you want a star-nosed mole, you've got to go south, I believe.
Into the southern states or continent?
Southern states.
Okay.
They just kind of creep me out. I don't think I'd want a shirt made out of star-nosed moles.
But just any generic mole skin you're fine with?
I'd be cool with that.
Okay.
It is for blisters and corns.
Is skin. It really made out of mole?
No. No.
Mole what's it made intestine.
Out of? It's like a gel. It's like a gel. It's like a gel on plastic.
Mole sausage.
Like a Band-Aid with gel on it.
But they're real small.
Mole skin.
Yeah, I suppose you could eat a mole, couldn't you? Why not?
Why not? Just like eating.
No different than eating a squirrel.
No. You eat squirrels.
Squirrel.
When was the last time you ate a squirrel, Rick?
It's been 20 years for me at least. At least.
No, Kristen and I went over and had dinner with Sheriff Bill Heffington over in Calhoun.
Yeah.
Yeah, you remember telling us about that.
Yeah, yeah.
Cynthia cooked up some squirrels.
When I was a younger man, I used to enjoy squirrel hunting. And then just a few years ago, I said, well, you know, I'm going to go squirrel hunting. And went out to the farm, and I shot, you know, some squirrels and cleaned them. And put them in a bowl of water and left them in the refrigerator for mom and dad to enjoy some fried squirrel. And I had this message on my phone when I got home. It said, what is the dead animal in my refrigerator? From our mother. I guess I should have left a note.
That would be a good idea. Now, was it just the full body, or did you cut it up so they could
fry
it?
Yeah, it was the whole body.
Okay. I find it intriguing that they didn't just trust to eat whatever it was without question.
Oh, good. Wild animal in our refrigerator.
What is it?
Let's cook it up,
let's,
Joe.
Let's cut it up and cook it up.
Joe, you cook it up.
Would he know what to do?
Put it on a stick and roast it over fire.
There you go.
An open fire.
Yeah, that's a good.
Dad
way
could
do
that. I'm sure he could.
Yeah. Just like Jeremiah Johnson. You make good rabbit, Pilgrim.
Oh, there's that movie again. Okay, Greg, that list of movies. Don't watch Jeremiah Johnson.
No, I
started watch
watching. I started to watch it. I said, no. Let me turn the channel on that. Absolutely.
Well, okay.
It's such a snoozer.
Let me drag the son-in-law into another conversation here. Brad, younger brother Brad and I, have been, you know, hunting deer for years, and in more recent years, the son-in-law has joined in, and he's now a deer hunter as well. He's got the fever, and you know, we would ride around, and Brad and I would make comments about this and that and this and that, and the son-in-law was relatively quiet as we rode around, and finally, he watched the movie Jeremiah Johnson. And the year after he watched that, he said, riding around with us hunting made a lot more sense. Because we were constantly quoting that movie. And
I got it. Okay. He finally put two and two together. Yeah.
You know, because otherwise he thought that we were just insane.
Pretty much.
Why are they talking about this? What's that have to do with anything we said up to this point? And they said, oh, it's from that movie that they just are obsessed with. What was that?
Just noise.
I didn't want to hear it.
That's harsh.
to your son-in-law, I fully understand what he went through. with you two talking about movies and different things and different quotes.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's a hard conversation because I haven't watched the movie either a lot of times. So
right.
I just go on. Dun, 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 you know, movie kick again.
You know, we mentioned Jackie. You know what I found out about Jackie?
Uh-oh. Is that she doesn't like you?
She can't. She doesn't know how. She doesn't know how to stick her finger in her mouth and make it go pop.
Really?
Yeah. She's never learned that. I don't know how a child could grow up not knowing.
I thought everybody had that skill.
Dude, I do that great.
I've done it. It's been a long time.
Oh, spit, Rick. Oh, come man. On, man.
There it is. Go. Hey, yeah. Got it. What?
What other baby noises you want to make? Here we go. Cry. You know, babies, you know, when they get ready to cry, they start making their, you know, their face starts to pucker up. And so, you know, they're,
yeah, they get.
it's like a pot of water getting ready to boil over. And then it finally does. But that buildup. That the faces that they make.
It's interesting, isn't it?
It's one of the most enjoyable things about having a child is seeing that baby cry face
come
build
on,
up.
You can do it. You can do it. Come on.
There's just that part.
TCFS didn't take your children away from you, huh?
Not yet.
Yeah.
They're both in therapy, though.
Do they, like, sit around at Christmas and go, you know, Dad really didn't know what he was doing, did he? You know, we thought, you know, we didn't have anyone else to go by other than him, but he didn't know.
Right. But that all goes away when children have their own children. Then they realize that there is no recipe and there's no,
oh yeah,
there's no method to the madness. And then you appreciate what your parents were able to do.
Yeah.
You don't appreciate what your parents did?
Well, we were talking about that, that skating thing where you busted Chuck in the mouth and made him swallow his teeth.
Yeah.
I don't think our parents have.
Any idea that happened?
They don't have the foggiest notion as to the stuff we did.
No, and that's why, you know that your own kids did ignorant stuff.
All sorts of crazy stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
You're better off not knowing.
And there's things that I've said on the radio that mom says, well, when'd you do that?
Yeah. Now she's mad all over again. Yeah. It's just talk. It's just radio talk, Mom, but none of that really happened.
No.
See, that's what I always tell Suzanne. I said,
it's just a show.
I said, when I talk about you, it's a version of you. It's not really you.
Thank you.
It's the radio version of
right.
you.
Right.
It's pretend.
Thank you.
You're not really anywhere near as shrewish as I make you out or drink as much or any of that stuff.
And when you say that you love her on the radio, it's just pretend? You can't have it both ways, Rick.
Wow.
Figure it out. It's kind of like a Twilight Zone thing.
A little bit.
That's a pretty good show, too.
Yeah, it is.
You know how you watch Twilight Zone?
Not as much as I used to.
What? It's not anymore.
Oh, yeah.
Who was it that was listening to this the podcast? And the intro, somebody said, well, I love that Johnny Quest intro. And the guy says, who's Johnny Quest?
There you go.
What? What?
No, it's on MeTV, Logo TV. Yeah. Get all those
okay.
channels around.
Okay. Next episode, I want the intro to Eighth Man as our opening.
There came a giant monster that came from outer space, created by the Martians to destroy the human race. The FBI is helpless. He's 20 stories tall. What can we do? Who can we call? Call Tobar, the Eighth Man.
Wow. Japanese cartoon.
I don't.
Wonderful.
Tobar is
never watched that.
Tobar is robot spelled backwards.
Never watched it.
And he's the scientist who created
obviously,
him.
Obviously, Professor made, Genius.
He made 7 previous attempts, all of which failed. They don't.
So this,
you know,
man.
The Eighth Man, and he had like power cigarettes he
no,
smoked. Do you remember that?
So this is
kind
what,
of.
He had to power up with a smoke.
So this program was on when you guys were growing up, right?
Yeah.
I missed that.
Eighth Man.
No.
It would have been a Channel 30 cartoon.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Well, Channel 30 back then was just. Basically,
whatever they could lay there.
Exactly. A lot of Japanese movies, you know. Wrestling on Chase was 11, Channel 11. So I don't remember the programming that well.
Okay. We've breached the top. We're supposed to not talk about stuff from
the past.
Long time ago.
We are?
Yeah, that's what my kids
okay,
said.
Okay, but
and they all, they also said we're not supposed to talk about killing things.
Oh.
Well, what did we kill tonight? Oh, I guess a few squirrels.
And that moles and deer.
And a mole's intestine.
Yeah.
And a few deer. So, but it was all for sustenance.
It's for food. We eat everything we kill.
And first time I kill a mole, I'm eating it. Just out of principle.
Yeah, but wow. You know, here's the thing. You don't have to eat it out of principle. They're delicious.
They're a pest.
No, they're delicious.
They? What's that? Which
moles.
One?
Moles.
Oh, okay.
They're cicadas.
Oh, well, yeah.
You know, it is that part's true. It is bird 19.
Yeah,
you know, there's like 20 broods of cicadas all around the United States.
You had to dig through all the stuff we talked about in the last half hour to find one thing that was true.
That's probably right.
I mentioned cicadas, and it just got
except I got beat 100 times at ping pong.
No, I believe that.
Yeah, yeah. I believe that was true too.
I can't believe you want to talk about it, but I believe it happened.
I have to. It's a healing show. You get all the miseries in your past, and you bring it out and try
cathargic.
To, yes.
Yeah, but see, to talk about something like that, I don't know. It'd make me feel better.
No, it just makes you feel
like
sad.
Strangle Gary Robeen. Oh wait, we're not gonna kill Gary.
No, he's well armed.
Okay,
so are we.
Let's settle down here, and we're out of time anyway.
Oh, it can't be. Does that say 30 minutes on that?
Oh, no, it doesn't. I'm going to have a donut hole.
That's all right. Eat up.
Yeah, but you're not having a donut hole.
What are they?
What am I doing?
The hole is nothing. That's the plug that came out of the hole.
I'm having a donut plug.
Pretty good, aren't they?
I'm thinking that you wouldn't sell as many of them if you call them donut plugs. What's it called? What's it say on the label?
It's glazed, isn't it?
Glazed
donut holes.
So there you go, Rick. Your theory shot.
I'm just going by what they call them and what the tattooed man told them to me. Dude.
I got one quick story. I had the engine replaced on my truck. Did I tell you that?
Yeah, you did, but go ahead. You never did tell you the story.
Well, I put this it off. For 6 months.
I've been putting it off. Finally, I go in and see the guy. You know,
see the guy.
Tell him I got to get it fixed. I said, here's the deal. I said that. I was driving it the other day, and the replace engine light came on. He goes, really? I said,
maybe I need to have somebody else fix this.
I said, it doesn't really have a replace engine light, does it? He says, well, I don't know. He says, you know, they'll people bring these things in. They'll have lights come on them that I didn't even know was on that. Well, I'm just filled with confidence.
Okay, I was driving one time and had the service airbag light come on.
Oh, that's not good.
And, you know,
I didn't know that
like
was on there either.
Like a guy saying, you know, driving with an airbag popped out in front of it.
Deployed in
his
face.
And I'm thinking, well, how do you service this? You know? And I just have this idea that as I'm driving down the road, it's just going to blow up in my face. I need to do something about this. My airbag's getting loose.
You know that if the airbags deploy, they like total the car. Apparently, repacking the airbags a huge big deal.
No, it's not. I've repacked them. They got a tool.
Don't ever.
They've got a
ever.
Tool.
No, you can't.
They got a tool that you can buy on the internet.
I'm sure of that.
You can't. You can't.
It's a series of small wrenches and a vacuum pack.
You can't.
And it sucks the air out of the airbag and pulls it back in. And you just put the little plate back on, screw it down, and you're good to go again.
You just made me think of something else. You can't. I agree with Greg. You're lying about that. But you know what is true about vacuum cleaners? Like if you have a wasp or a little hornet's nest, you can take a vacuum cleaner, shop vac, go up, stick it right there, and it'll suck them all into the thing.
So you're saying that if I took an extension cord out into my backyard where there's a big giant hornet's nest, and that I could jam that pipe into the hole of the vacuum of the
and get
hornet's
nest, suck them as they came out
and get
got
every
hornet
one of them out of there.
Every one of them that thing would just be buzzing like it was a hive of bees.
Listen to them in there.
The question
they're
is
they're angry.
Wow.
There's no way.
I just.
But if you went out at night,
Yeah, you have to go in the evening.
When you know they're all in their nest and resting and less active,
yeah.
You could put the tube shot of back that baggage wigger and suck every single one of them out of there.
Yep, that's 100% true. Well, they'd all start coming out, and they'd just go into the thing.
I don't think I'd leave room for air. I think I'd make sure that tube was right in the opening. Just suck
like
it all out
if
of
If you've
there.
Just got the plain old wasp up there with a bunch of them, you can go up at nighttime and just get them all.
Down to the last wasp.
Yeah, I'll let you guys try that first.
It'll work every time.
All right.
The question is what you do with them. You don't want to open that shop back up.
No, you got to put a piece of duct tape over the end of it.
Yeah.
So they don't come out and just let them die natural.
They're going to go.
Or take your vacuum sweeper and throw it in the pond.
And again, we're talking about killing things.
You leave it there and say, hey, Brad, go clean out the shop vac for me, would you?
Now, let me ask you this. If you had your hornets in the vacuum,
yeah,
could you take a can of ether and shoot that into the...
I read that, and do you know what the Darwin Awards are?
Sure, I've got one.
Well, you have to die to get one. Darwin Awards.
Hey, Rick, I'm dying to get one.
Darwin Awards are given to people who are doing something so incredibly stupid that it kills them.
Oh, okay.
And apparently a guy...
I'm in line for one.
Guy does the shop back thing and decides to kill them by spraying stuff into it. And I guess
it exploded?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Killed him. Exploded, killed him. I guess blew wasp all over everything, too.
I'd say it blew more than wasp.
So, no, you don't want to do that.
Okay.
So kids,
Rick, I think
kids
that
at home, kids listening at this at home, don't
do anything that we suggest ever.
Don't try repacking the balloon on your car.
The airbag.
On your car. Don't try shooting or flying off on a lawn chair with helium balloons.
Don't try skinning a mole.
Don't try, you can clean up the wasp with a shop vac.
Don't eat a cicada.
But don't fill it full of
bad advice I've given. Explosive stuff. Don't play Gary Robine in ping pong.
There you go. That's your better than
Greg.
Yeah.
That's your better than Greg.
Yeah. Which everybody is. Obviously.
See you later, boys.
From Greg Gator.
Alligator.
Rick Gator.
Alligator.
Gator.
This has been the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour. The Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestler has been brought to you by Uncle Den's Roasters. Tastes just like chicken, but it's not. And by Cannoli's Canine Cough Drops. If your dog is coughing, he's coughing for our cannoli. No portion of today's broadcast may be reproduced without the express written consent of the North American Alligator Wrestling Association. And with that legal in hand, see you later from Greg Gator, Rick Gator, and Alligator. This has been the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Network. Accept no substitutes.